13. And he said that when the month of Ramadan comes in, the doors of paradise are opened. Or here, but he doesn't mention paradise, he mentions as-samah, of the heavens, which is a dalil that with respect to Jannah, it is above, not below. And then he says also, and that the doors of the Jahannam, of the hellfire, are locked. And then he said, وَسُلْسِلَتْ الشَّيَاطِينَ, and that the demons are a manacle, that they're chained, because the silsal is a chain. Or if you talk about silsila, sometimes you hear people talk about the chain of transmission with respect to the science of a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu, and they say this, you know, this chain of transmission, or hadhihi silsila, which means chain, but it means chain in the literal sense, and it means chained in the physical sense. So, in this hadith, shayateen are chained in the month of Ramadan. Of course, people know that during the month of Ramadan, evil still happens. You know, so what is the meaning that the demons are going to be chained? And different ulama have different understanding of it, because the Prophet didn't explain it in detail, alayhi salatu wasalam, and it's not necessary that people know the detail of this hadith in order to fast Ramadan, because this is not the basis of Ramadan. The basis of Ramadan is imsak an ta'am biniyah. You know, it's to not eat, drink, have sex, sun up to sundown, based upon the niyyah of siyam. That's the basis of the fast of Ramadan. You know, that's the basis of the fast of Ramadan. So everything else are just information that the Prophet tells us about Ramadan, about things that happened during the month of Ramadan, but he didn't even tell us everything about the month of Ramadan or about the reward concerning people who fast or the clarity that they get. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks in terms, he tells you the important aspects of Ramadan. For example, he says, "Kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba 'alal ladina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun." He says, fasting is prescribed for you like it was prescribed for those that came before you, so that you will have taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clear about that, so that people doesn't enter into their minds any other secondary or tertiary purpose for Ramadan except to have taqwa. So when people say, for example, we're fasting Ramadan so we can understand the poor, we're fasting Ramadan so we can do this, you know, those are all additional things that may or may not happen. Wallahu alam. But if it happens, it falls under the category of taqwa, because, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't require us to understand the condition of the poor, who are hungry, because you really can't understand a person who don't have food to eat unless you don't have food to eat. And that's not Ramadan. That's like you ain't got food to eat. Ramadan, you know, most of fast Ramadan, what happens is that we got food, we just not going to eat it until sunset. That's different than a person who doesn't have any food to eat at all. And they got to think about where I'm going to get my food. So you can't understand that. But like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do is to feed the person who has food and feed him for the sake of Allah. And that's taqwa. And so Ramadan is deeper than just not eating and not drinking and not having sex. You know, that's why the Prophet said in a separate hadith, he says, "Man lam yada'a qawla zur wal 'amala bihi falaysa lillahi hajatun fi an yada'a ta'ama wa sharaba." He says, whoever does not stay away from false talk, vain talk, qawl zur wal 'amala bihi, and acting according to it, then Allah has no need of him to not to leave alone his food and his drink. So it goes deeper, but it all comes back down to taqwa. And so the other things about Ramadan that we understand about the shayateen and things like that, that's just an additional kashif information that the Prophet ﷺ is giving us to you know, the alhamdulillah may help us in our fast, but that's to let us know more about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so merciful to the believers by giving them this month. And so in understanding the hadith, different ulama have a different aspects of the understanding. They don't particularly disagree. It's just different aspects, because the whole idea of devils being chained, that's a big deal. It's a big issue itself. It's not something that one person can comprehend unless you were there. So one of the understandings is that during the month of Ramadan, for the person who's observing the fast, the shayateen that normally influence people in their everyday lives, you have different types of devils, okay? You have shayateen from jinn, and you have shayateen from ins. That's one thing to understand. You have human demons, and you have spirit demons, okay? And they both have equal impact on people's lives, except human demons, you can see them. Shayateen of jinn, you can't see them, but you can see the humans. But you always can't say this person is a demon, but sometimes you can tell the demon way by what they say, what they do, what they call to you. They may be working for a demon. Some people are just demons themselves, and there's no scientific way to test it out, but a person can say this and say that, be about this, so and so, and you can conclude that if you're not a demon, you're working for demons, or you're consumed by demons, and therefore I'm not going to have anything to do with you on the basis of that. Because that's what the Prophet said. So some said, he said, al-mar'u ala dini khalili fa yanzuru ahadukum wa yukhalilu. A person will be following the religion of his close association, and therefore let each of you look to see who he's closely associated to. So when you have the shayateen who from jinn and from man, now of course, the one he's talking about, you know, well, soon see that, but they're chained up. We know for a fact that we don't see people walking around in physical chains. So the shayateen that are human, they're not chained up in the physical sense during month of Ramadan, because they're walking around. They're still right there. So it's, the hadith is more directed to the shayateen of jinn that who are chained up during the month. And this is where ulama discussed the issue based upon that reality. So Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, for example, he mentions Halimi, who says that what's probably meant, you know, al-muhtamal min al-ma'na, is that the shayateen who sit in different areas of the sky to listen to the maqadir, listen to the qadrs, okay, listen to the decrees coming down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the planet Earth. Because everything that happens, happens by decree. And the decree is made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that decree descends down. And during the month of Ramadan, a lot of the decrees for the year come down in advance. This is for, you know, this is what's going to happen this year. So some scholars say that during the month of Ramadan, during the night of power, that everybody who's going to die during from this year to next year, that decision comes down during the month of Ramadan. Okay, so the different malaikas and the moat, they know, okay, so-and-so person, okay, he dying between now and next Ramadan, he gonna get it. So make sure he's going so-and-so month, he's going so-and-so month, or between this Ramadan, next Ramadan, it's going to be 3-4 earthquakes in this place, this place, this place. Allah decreed this. Now I'm letting y'all know right now, it's going to happen. And, you know, those qadrs come down. And so what shayateen, evil jinns used to do, and still try to do, they try to listen out in the heavens for Allah's decrees coming down, and then they work out deals with their friends that they befriend on the earth, and who are soothsayers, horoscope people. That's why a lot of people of power are really closely attached to the horoscope people, to the fortune teller people, because that's the main people that these type of shayateen get with. You know, say, okay, listen, I was up here checking, and this is what's going to happen. If you invest in this, this company's going to get real, real famous. Or if you do this, or if you do this with your money, if you, you know, they do that. And of course, we know that the people who do that, that's considered to be an act of disbelief. But nevertheless, this happens, and it happens from shayateen. And that's why during the time of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a lot of shooting stars in the heavens and a lot of celestial activity to block them from listening. So during the night of power, where he says, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadri, wa ma adraka ma laylatil qadri," we sent him down in the night of power. Allah cleared the pathway in the heavens for Jibreel alayhi salam to bring the Quran to the Prophet alayhi salam, but he did it in a way that none of the shayateen, they didn't know what it was. They didn't know what happened. All they knew was that they couldn't hear it. They couldn't hear nothing, and they couldn't see anything going, anything transpiring. And that's what Allah says in another verse. He says, "Ma tanazzalat bihi shayateen, wa ma yanbaghi lahum wa ma yastati'un inhum anissam'i lima'azulun tanzilun min azizul hakim." Allah says that the devils did not send this down, and it's not for them to do it, nor were they able. Inhum anissam'i lima'azulun, he says they were made far away from listening, I mean from the listening post. So that's about the Quran. So some ulama say that what's meant by the shayateen are chained up. He's talking about these shayateen, the one that listen to the different qadrs that's going to happen, and that they become chained during the nights of Ramadan and not during the daytime of Ramadan, depending upon where they are on the planet. And he based that based upon them being prevented from that during the time that the Quran was revealed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's one view. The second view, or another view, is that it generally means that during the month of Ramadan, if somebody's fasting and observing the month, the different shayateen that cause fitna in your life, they're not going to be able to cause the same level of fitna during the month of Ramadan with you observing it that they would in other parts of the year, during other months of the year, because it's Ramadan, it's a holy month, you're fasting. You know, fasting is one of the most dutiful types of ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah says, he says in the Qudsi Hadith, "Kulu amali ibn Adam lahu illa sawm fa innahu li wa ana ujzi bihi." He says all of the actions of the of mankind is for his own sake, it's for him, except for fasting, for verily it's for me and I reward for it. Even though all of the acts of ibadah are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without a doubt, according to Ahlul Ilm, with no, there's no dissension on that. But Allah makes special mention about Ramadan, about fasting during the month of Ramadan. This is especially for me, because this is one of the most dutiful of types of worship that a person can do, is fast, especially fasting Ramadan, because nobody can see your fast Nobody knows about it. It's all hidden from everyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where your salat, people can see your salat, they can see you giving sadaqah, they can see you going hajj, they can see it, they can hear you take shahada, they can hear you talk. A person's fasting, you can't, there's nothing you can do to witness that he's fasting. You don't know if he got finished eating or not. You don't know what that person is doing. You just know if a person said he's fasting and he saw him, I'm fasting. There's nothing physical you can see on the outside. Even some of the arifin, some of the salaf used to, when they were fasting, the supererogatory fast, they would put on nice clean clothes, put on oil, you know, they would make sure they were looking fresh, so nobody would be able to tell by their physical appearance that they were fasting, because fasting is very private between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the views is that the shaitan is not able to have impact on you to the same degree while you're fasting that he would outside of the month of Ramadan. That's one view. That's the second view. Another view is المراد بالشياطين بعضهم وهم المرد منهم. He says that what's meant by shayateen is some of them, meaning the most stubborn and obstinate, the most evil of them, the worst of them. That during the month of Ramadan, you know, the real bad shayateen, they get chained up, and then the other little Jones, they still run around. Wallahu alam. But we know shayateen are different. They're not all the same. You know, even jinns, they're not all the same. During the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah mentions the Quran, he says, "Qala ifritun min al jinn." You know, that the ifrit from amongst the jinn said to Sulaiman, "I can bring you the throne of Bilqis, the Queen of Sheba, before you get up from your throne, you know, with a blink of an eye, before you move off that throne, I'll have her throne right here, you know." But he was a jinn. He was an ifrit, which is a bigger type of jinn, stronger, more powerful type of jinn, you know. But he was under the control and obedience to the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. But I'm saying that to say that there are jinns of different types, qualities, strength. You have jinns, you have demons who are really powerful demons. Then you have little baby demons, I call them baby demons, who influence people. They're demons nonetheless, but then they're more powerful ones. And in general, when people have more knowledge and more faith, then Allah usually allows a more powerful jinn to come to them. You know, if you're not really, you know, some people have small jinns, but different people, as they get power when they overcome, you know, when you overcome obstacles, spiritual obstacles in your life by adhering to Kitab and Sunnah, alhamdulillah, that doesn't mean that Iblis is finished with you. You know, and he'll send stronger demons against you, and then you become stronger over those. And I mean, he finished, he'll continue to be your enemy until the day you die. But a person by perseverance become very strong against the shayateen, because the shaitan affects people by three different ways. One is by ignorance of their religion. Two is by them following their whim after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already shown them the truth. They still want to do it their way. And the third way is by just negligence. He just slips in and out, which is another story altogether. But so what's meant is by, is according to some ulama, is the most stubborn of the shayateen. That those are the ones who are meant by they'll be chained up. Another view is, and I mentioned about the view about the stubborn shayateen. There's other hadith about that. For example, Ibn Khuzaymah has a whole section on that, and there's a hadith that's collected by different scholars, Dawood, Abu Dawood, Abu Isa at-Tirmidhi, and so on, you know, with different phrases. But one hadith is another hadith of Abu Huraira, where he mentioned that the Prophet said, "Either kana awli lilati min shahr Ramadan, sufidat ash-shayateen wa maraddat al-jinn." He says that when it's the first night of the month of Ramadan, the shayateen and the most obstinate of the jinn, they're all chained up. So that's one of the understandings, you know. And there's another, there's other ahadith that point to bad jinns, real bad jinns. And that would explain why, even though a person may be fasting, you know, there's different evil that may come from them. And also, there's the understanding that evil, because shaitan is not the only source of evil. All evil does not come from Iblis, because you have to remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah says that when we said to Adam, rarely when we said to the angels, prostrate to Adam, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ, and they all prostrated except for Iblis, أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, he refused and was haughty, and he was from amongst the unbelievers. Well, there wasn't any shaitan to tempt him to disobey Allah in the presence of the heavenly host. So all evil does not come from Iblis. And the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, used to say, A'udhu bika min sharri nafsi wa min sayyati amali. He used to say, I seek refuge in Allah from the evil of my own self wa sayyati amali, and from the evil outcome of my misdeeds, so that's another dalil that showed that all evil is not from Iblis. So that doesn't exempt the person not gonna do no evil during the month of Ramadan, and that would lend to the understanding that that means only some of the shayateen are going to be chained. And it also adds to the understanding that during the month of Ramadan, people won't have the same effect. That's if they're observing the month, of the shayateen of demons on them, that they would during other times of the month. Now, that's the general understanding, those what I mentioned. But now, also what adds to that is the understanding about opening the door of Jannah. What does that mean? Again, there's another narration, you know, about that. In addition to the one that's in Bukhari, he has the one that I read to you. There's other narrations. One, he says, وَغُلِقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ فَلَمْ يُفْتَحْ مِنْهَا بَابٌ وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ فَلَمْ يُغْلَقْ مِنْهَا بَابٌ. And where the Prophet ﷺ reports have said during the month of Ramadan that the doors of the hellfire would be locked, closed, shut, and locked, and none of those doors would be opening, you know, during that month, and that the doors of Jannah would be open, and none of those doors would be closed during that month. Now, the first thing I want to point out too is that the month of Ramadan is in fact a holy month. It's a holy month. And it's holier than the month that preceded it. And it's a difference in it. There's different things that are going on with the planet during the month. That the life forms on the planet, you know, everything is different during the month of Ramadan. It's not just the days are the same, but there's a difference between the month of Ramadan and the month prior to Ramadan and the month is after Ramadan. And so another phrase in Hadith of Ibn Khuzaymah is where the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلِلَّهِ عُتَكَاءُ مِنَ النَّارِ وَذَلِكَ كُلُّ لَيْلِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every night during the night of Ramadan, there are people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He may have already written for them to be in the hellfire, He's going to switch it on them and say, okay, I'm going to save you from the hellfire. He make that decision during the month of Ramadan. But as far as the door being closed, you know, and the shayateen being chained, another scholar of hadith, Al-Bayhaqi, he has a hadith with Ibn Mas'ud, the similar phrase about that the doors of Jannah are open and the doors of the and none of the doors of Jannah will be closed during this month, the whole month. Some ulama say that يحتمل أنه على ظاهره وحقيقته وأن ذلك كله علامة للملائكة لدخول الشهر وتعظيم حرمته. He says that it's possible that when the Prophet talked about the doors of Jannah being open and the doors of the hellfire being closed, that's actual haqiqah, that's not figurative, that's actually literal. That this happened, and when that happens, that's a sign for the malaika that the month of Ramadan has entered. Is that they see, oh, the doors of Jannah are opening. Oh, the doors of hellfire is opening. Oh man, it must be Ramadan. Because there's more angels are out there than people. You know that, right? So they outnumber us. They outnumber us. I don't know how many to one, but human beings are a minority in a lot of issues. There's more rodents out here than us. There's more flies out here. There's more bees. There's more trees. There's more leaves. There's more birds on the planet than human beings. Although we think that the planet does revolve around us, it really don't. This planet was already here before mankind came. We just here to be tested. This is just a testing ground for us. That's it. It just happens to be nice because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He put everything that we need here to be tested. So He put all the trees and the birds and the fish and the water and so on. But anyway, so some ulama say that this is how the angels tell that the month of Ramadan came in, because the doors literally open or close, you know. And that is because of the high esteem and the holiness given the month of Ramadan. And also, it's a month that during, and this is what some people say, that during the time of month of Ramadan, that the shayateen, that they're prevented from harming the believers. So, okay, you've gotten a lot from the believers all year, but this month, for them, those who observe it, Allah, this is mercy. He saves, he spares us from the many devil demons that may have been nesting with us during the year. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man sama Ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبي. Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan in faith and seeking the reward, his previous sins will be forgiven. And in another hadith, this is as in the Bukhari, another hadith, he says, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبي. Whoever prays the night of Ramadan with faith and seeking reward, his prior sins are forgiven. And as far as the doors of paradise being open and closed, some scholars look at it as it's just figurative. It just means that during this year, during the month of Ramadan, there's more reward for the person. You know, there's more forgiveness for the person. Allah forgives people more during this month. He rewards them more for this month, those who are observing the month of Ramadan. And the shayateen have less ability to deceive people during this month. And they become as if they are chained. You know. And so some of them look at it completely like metaphorical, like allegorical, instead of the physical, and some say it's both. Wallahu alam, because we're not there to witness, you know. But some ulama say that the reference to the doors of hellfire being closed or locked, that means that that people become less involved in being people observing Ramadan. That because when Ramadan comes in, they might have been concerned about sin before. I'm trying to do this and that and that. But when Ramadan comes in, they're concerned about fasting. People want to fast. A lot of people who do a lot of sin during the year, they waiting for Ramadan. Ramadan comes, okay, man, Ramadan, oh, alhamdulillah, thank God Ramadan here, I can start practicing Islam again. And so that meaning is very real. Because for some reason, when Ramadan comes in, even bad people amongst the believers, they still straighten up and still try to get it together and try to put it back in force during Ramadan. And it's clear there's something different going on in their life. You know, so that could be the meaning of it too, you know. But it's not something, this is not something that ulama argue about, you know, because the Prophet never liked arguing about religion, and he hated people arguing about anything that has to do with the month of Ramadan. This is why, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet information about what the night was going to, Laylatul Qadr was going to be. And he was going to tell him when he came out. But they started arguing about it. Everybody was speculating. And they started to argue about it. And then when the Prophet heard them arguing, he said, he came out of his tent. He said, you know, I was going to tell you what exactly, you know, what night exactly was going to be the night of power. I was going to tell you the exact night. But now, you know, I'm not going to tell you. Allah made me forget it. So now you have to seek it out yourselves during the last 10 nights. But that's because they were arguing. And every time the Prophet was finding people arguing about religion, you know, just to something that used to upset him. But this narration about the Jannah and the fire, it comes in different narrations. In another narration, instead of the doors of paradise, he said, Abu Abu Rahma. Another narration, like one of the ones that I mentioned to you, he would say, Abu Abu Sama. He would say, the doors of mercy or the doors of the heaven, you know. So both meanings, the figurative and the literal, they both have strength to them, you know. And because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about opening the doors of the heavens, that's also a way of saying that so his mercy descends, you know. So, you know, that's why people, you know, say, well, the mercy came down, was sent down from Allah from his, you know, from above. That's why mercy descends. You know, it descends from above. That's why we make dua. Oh Allah, send down your mercy. Send down the mercy, you know. And in the hadith, it's in Sahih, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah's mercy, that the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in 100 parts of His mercy. It's 100 parts. And 99 parts of His mercy, we will never even see it until after Yawm al-Qiyamah. He keeps it to Himself. And He sent one part of His mercy down to the earth. And the Prophet mentioned, and He sent it down. He sent it down. And He said, and you see that mercy in a lioness when she paws her cub without harming it. Knowing that that a lion, that same paw can rip a person's body open. You know, but if you ever watch it like a cat paw, you can see some of that. If you have a cat and you playing with your cat and you squeeze, if you squeeze a cat paws, you know, his or her fangs will come out and you'll see it, you know, and they may scratch you with it, but it's a light scratch. It's a scratch that's not trying to hurt you, but then he can scratch you with it and try to hurt you and rip it. That's mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's mercy that allows people to interact like that between harshness and softness. That's the mercy of Allah. But the point is that the Prophet mentioned that that's sent down. You know, His mercy sent down. So it can mean, you know, when He talks about the doors of Jannah, that Allah's mercy is opened up. You know. But also, and then as far as the fire, is that it has figurative meaning too, that that it means that a person who's engaging himself in fasting, that they're doing less evil. Simple as that. If you're fasting the month of Ramadan and observing the month, it's less likely you're going to do evil. You're going to do less. People tend to even talk less when they're fasting. You know, they're not. There's not. And then another thing is that because a lot of the things that feed evil are things from the nafs. It's the nafs. You know, that's why, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said that there's no vessel within the body that's worse to fill than your stomach. So overeating is disliked, it's prohibitively disliked, or wasting food is disliked, or not appreciating what you have is disliked, because that has all to do with feeding the nafs, feeding the body. You know, it's more, you know, if a person's sitting around just stuffing themselves all day, it's less likely they're going to be up on their prayers. It's less likely that they're going to be conscious of certain things, because the food itself brings certain things with it, good or bad. Notwithstanding that some of the food may not be good for us as far as nutritionally, but some of the food may not even be legal for us, Allahu A'lam. But the food itself, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ told us to eat so we only fill our stomach to a third portion with water, and a third portion with the food, and a third portion with air, you know. Or you didn't say water, but something liquidy. And so, there's other parts of it, but I think I went enough, inshallah ta'ala. But that's just some of the benefits of Ramadan, of the month. As far as the meaning of that hadith about the shayateen being chained, you know, that the general meaning, it could be, you know, literally for some of them, and it's pretty figurative because of what you're doing. You know, it could be both, that they are literally chained. Some of them are literally chained during this month. You know, the doors of Jannah being open. It could be literal. The doors of Jannah open, because Jannah definitely have doors. They definitely have doors, and even the people when there's a door for the people who fast. And in fact, the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Inna fil jannati babun yuqalu la aryan." He says that in Jannah there's a door, and the name of that door is called Ar-Rayyan, and the only one who is able to enter that door are people who used to fast, people who were fond of fasting. That was they get down when they were fasting. And when they go in the door, nobody never come out to tell them what happened in that joint. And then the thing about fasting the month of Ramadan is that the different rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises people, He mentions it in the Quran, except He doesn't mention fasting, and He doesn't mention any reward for fasting. He says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أُجُورَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. He says that the people who he mentions who are patient, but the ulama of tafsir consider the word patient, as-sabiruna, in this verse to mean as-sa'imun, those people who fast. That's why one of the words for the month of Ramadan is called the month of patience, because Ramadan fasting requires patience, because you're being patient, that you're waiting before you can eat. That takes some patience, and you're being patient for the hardships, and you know, if you experience hunger or if you experience this desire for this and that, you're being patient from that. And that's why he called the month of patience. But in the verse, Allah says, "Innama yuwaffas-sabiruna ujurahum bighayri hisab," that verily those people who are patient, those people who are fasting, shall get their reward upon their expiration without measure. There's no measure on it, you know. And a lot of things have been said about fasting. And the Prophet said, you know, asum junna, fasting is a shield, and it's good for the person who's not married, you know. In the hadith, the Prophet sallam, he said, "Man istata' minkum al-ba'a falyatazawwaj fa'innahu ghatul al-basari wa ahsanu lil-farji wa man lam yastati' fa'alayhi bisawm." He says, whoever of you is able to maintain a home, he should get married, because it's a shield for his eyes, and it's a protection for his chastity. But whoever is not able to do that, then they should fast. And then he said, alayhi bisawm fa'innahu lahu wija'un, because fasting was, you know, would be sufficient for him. So alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, that covers that part. And also some people look say also that as far as the shayateen being chained up during month of Ramadan, that's pointing to that, if a person do some bad things, that, you know, that Allah is giving them an opportunity to really do good, and He's taking away their excuses, because it's almost like Allah saying, okay, I know the shayateen is out here all year. Okay, so maybe you can use that for an excuse. And then here come Ramadan, I'm locking the shayateen up now, so you ain't got no excuse, because I'm making it easy on you to turn back to me, to turn to being righteous. And that's very, very important. You know, because there's really no excuse for not observing righteousness during the month of Ramadan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made so much mercy and so much barakah. He's opened the doors of Jannah. He's closed the door of the hellfire. He's put the shayateen in chains. He made it easier for us. And that's why playing hooky on Ramadan is such a major sin. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.